worship team a huge hand. Wasn't that amazing? I don't think it gets much better than that. Worshipping God and smelling smoking meat at the same time. I think we've just stepped a bit closer to heaven. We better make sure nobody opens that door, otherwise everyone will follow the smell. I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning. Actually, this morning I got up early and I went and sat in the office and I was writing down a few thoughts about the message I was going to share, and my kids came in and they said, "Daddy, why are you at work? It's Sunday." And I said, yeah, I'm actually preaching at church this morning. And they said, "Preaching? What's preaching?" And I said, "I'm going to be talking at church this morning." And then Mia, who's our six-year-old, she said, "Oh, Dad, my teacher, Mrs. Putzia, she told me every day at school, Mia, less talking, more doing. So you can't be talking at church in church this morning." And so I will make sure it's brief. But maybe someone does need to hear that. Less talking, more doing. Yeah? So good. This morning I want to talk about faith. I recently read through the Christmas story in Luke again, and I was really surprised because as I read the story, I was just amazed at how much of this. How many know that the Christmas story about Jesus coming to this planet is the most significant thing in the history of the world? And I just was thinking, as I was reading through the Christmas story, I was thinking, this is amazing. God had eternity to plan this, and yet the most significant event in world history, he chooses Mary and Joseph. And not only that, he actually expects them to have faith. He actually expects them to trust him in the things they didn't understand and things that were going on that they had no clue about. We'll explain a bit more about that as we go, but as I was reading this, I just saw this deal of faith, this deal of trust, this dependence on God was weaved through the whole Christmas story. How many know that sometimes we can lose our faith? I'm not talking about losing our salvation. I'm talking about sometimes we can lose our faith. Maybe it's disappeared. Maybe we've buried it or it's buried. How many know that when we're going along life and we come to a circumstance that is way too big for us, we turn around to find our faith and all of a sudden it's like it's vanished. Where's my faith? Where's my trust? How many know that sometimes that happens to us? We lose our faith, we displace it, all of a sudden it's gone, it's slipped between that little faith we thought, all of a sudden we look and it's gone. This faith, this trust in God. I believe that faith is just a response to who God is. It's purely a response to his word and to his nature. Faith, trust in God, should actually be the natural response for believers in Jesus. This life of faith, this life of trust, this life of dependence on God should actually be the natural response as we journey in our relationship with God. But sometimes we turn around and the faith that we thought we had, all of a sudden it slipped through our hands. It's gone. Where's this faith? It's crazy, but most people sitting in this room are here because you believe in something that at one point you didn't even know existed. God. Most people are sitting here in this place now believing in something that is more real than the person sitting next to them that at one point in their life they never knew existed. And the journey that takes us on that is called faith. If you got your Bibles, let's open them up to Luke chapter 1. This is probably the most famous passage that is read at Christmas time. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 26. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here just with our time this morning. Starting from verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what type of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end.'" How good is that? How good is that promise? His kingdom will never end. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age who was unable to conceive. She is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. This is a crazy story. Here we have Mary, who's a teenage girl. She wakes up one morning, and all she's thinking about is her wedding plans. She's getting married, and all of a sudden, an angel not only disrupts her day, but interrupts her life. This angel comes to her and says, "You're going to have a child." And she's sitting there thinking, "How can I have a child? I'm a virgin." And then this is crazy. And then the angel says, "God himself is going to impregnate you." This is crazy. Imagine Mary then going to her fiancé, saying, "Oh, by the way, God's just said that I'm pregnant." If I was Mary, like, this is pretty big news. If I was Mary, I'd be encouraged that an angel come and spoke to me, but I'd be saying to Gabriel, "Before you leave, you're coming with me to tell my parents. You're coming with me to tell my fiance. You're coming with me to tell my friend, to tell my friends, because nobody is going to believe this." The crazy thing is that having a baby out of marriage was like, it was like full on back then. She could have been cast out, ostracized. Her family could have rejected her. Joseph could have just cut her off and rejected her. Her friends, she could have literally been killed, been stoned for this. She has this visitation, this supernatural experience from God. But what about Joseph? Well, when Mary came and told him the news, he wasn't so sure like all of you guys would be. And God gives him a dream and says, "No, you can trust Mary. Take her to be your wife." What I find fascinating in there is that it wasn't like the angel came every day to remind Mary about the promise. You would think that God, when he was when he was planning this Christmas event, the most significant event in world history, if I was God, I'd be like, all right, Gabriel, every day, go down and remind these guys about the promise that Jesus, their little baby, is the Messiah. Even if you have to stay and have breakfast with them, make sure they're believing it, make sure they remember the promise. But this isn't the case. Mary had to trust. Joseph had to trust. I'm sure there was days when, after Jesus was born and Jesus is a little toddler and he's playing with the kids in the dirt and she's got other kids by then. I'm sure there was some pretty hard days as a parent, as a mother. I'm sure there was some busy days where she actually reflected and said, is this promise really true? Is he actually the Messiah? What about Joseph? Maybe when he caught up with his mates said, do you actually believe what your wife is saying? Do you still believe that? That she actually was impregnated by God? Do you actually still believe that? And I'm sure there was days where Joseph walked away thinking, I did have a dream, but maybe it was God, but maybe it was the pizza. And so all along through this Christmas story with Mary and Joseph, there was options throughout every part of their life. There was always options. They either believed God or they didn't. They either hung on to the promise of God or they believed something else. When I read through this story again, I was fascinated because I thought, this is the most significant event in world history, and here God constantly allows options in their lives. Options to believe the promise or options to not. Imagine when Jesus is a teenager, he's growing up in his 20s, all of a sudden he's doing some carpentry work with Joseph. I'm sure there was days where Joseph, maybe running his own business, was stressed, he was busy. He would look over at Jesus making things and thinking, is this really the Messiah of the world? Is this really the promise that God actually said to us? Or are we deluded? Or is something here we don't understand? See, and what about when he was 30? He hadn't started his ministry. All of a sudden, Mary and Joseph are sitting there. I wonder one night if they just sat back and said, Jesus is now 30. I wonder if this stuff is going to happen. See, 30 years is a long time since they had that angel visitation. It's a long time of people questioning, do you still believe this? It's a long time in keeping the faith, keeping trust in what God has said. One thing I've realized is that God loves to give us options. I remember I was facing, probably about 18 months ago, I was facing a really difficult time. And I remember praying and thinking to God, God, if you would just walk into my room right now, get your finger and write on that board that everything's going to be all right, it would be sweet. Who's ever been in a really tough situation and you're just like, God, if you would come and just show me without a shadow of a doubt that this is going to be okay, then I'll be fine. And how many know sometimes God does do that? In his grace and his mercy, he does that. But do you know sometimes, in my case, he didn't do that? But he gave me scriptures. He gave me things. But he always left me enough latitude that I had to make a decision. Because see, if God came into my room and wrote, physically walked in my room and wrote on the wall, everything's going to be all right, I would never have to have faith in him. If the next morning when I woke up and I thought, is everything going to be all right? And he appears again and he says to me, Ben, points his finger in my face and said, everything's going to be all right. I'll be like, oh, yes. But I'll never have to have faith. But yet he always leaves us options. He leaves us options to either believe the word of God, the promise of God over our life, or believe something else. Because he's more interested in relationship. How are we going? Awesome. Luke chapter 8. We'll just quickly flick over to another story in Luke chapter 8. This is a story where Jesus has now, in his ministry, he's 30-something years old. He's got a group of disciples, and he's going around preaching, healing the sick, doing all the stuff that Jesus does. And he says to his disciples, let's jump in a boat and let's go over to the other side of the lake. And in this process, he's asleep in the boat and this storm just comes up out of nowhere. And it says here in the end of verse 24, it says, he got up, this is Jesus, and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and was all calm. This is verse 25. He says, where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In another version, it says, have you lost your faith in me? See, this is the question that Jesus is asking today, is where is your faith? Where is your faith? Stace, if you could come up. If Stace is, oh, thank you. I told you I wasn't going to keep you long. Wow, that's amazing. But the question that Jesus is asking this morning is, where is your faith? It's the question that he's always asking. Is where is your faith? Where is your trust? Where's your reliance in God? Maybe for you, this year 2020 has been extremely hard with COVID, and you're just like, hey, let's just see out 2020. Let's just welcome on 21. Who's with me? A few people, yeah. Maybe 2020 has been really tough. Really tough. Maybe you feel emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted, spiritually exhausted. The question that Jesus is asking tenderly as he looks through eyes of love is saying, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Maybe right now you're sitting here and you have a terminal illness. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a serious health condition. And through the eyes of love, he tenderly whispers to you and says, where is your faith? Maybe you're here and you've just prayed for so long for financial breakthrough. You've prayed so long for your finances to be healthy. He whispers to you this morning, where is your faith? Maybe someone's hurt you really bad. Maybe there's been an exchange of words and there's been a relational issue in your life with family or friends, and maybe even in the church you've been hurt really bad. And things have been done to you that shouldn't have been done. You feel like you can't trust again. You feel like, what's the point? He wants to pull you close this morning and whisper in your ear, where is your faith? Where is your trust in God? Maybe your marriage this morning is in dysfunction. Maybe you're just in survival mode. And you've just got to the point where you're like, I've resolved myself to this is how it's going to be for the rest of my life. We've just got to make it work. We've just got to live in this dysfunction. This morning, I believe the Lord is saying to you, where's your faith? Where's your faith this morning? In a God who is forever faithful. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I had an amazing year. I won the gold lotto. My business is booming. My kids are doing well. I'm healthy. We got plenty of finances. I'm just really looking forward to celebrating Christmas. But maybe you've lost your faith. Maybe all these other things in your life have taken the value away from your trust and your dependence on God. And the Lord wants to tenderly whisper to you this morning, where is your faith? If you're like me, when the Lord asks me where my faith is, and when I look inside, I don't feel really good. Maybe you're here and you're in one of these categories, and when I said that the Lord is saying to you, where is your faith? You feel condemned. Maybe you feel like, oh, that's right. Yeah, I don't have enough faith. It's one of these faith messages again. I don't know about you, but when I get asked that question, when I look inside and I try and find my faith, that little bit of faith I had all of a sudden disappears. But I believe as the Lord, and in this story here when the disciples were in the boat, the whole point about Jesus asking them where your faith was is so that they would actually turn and engage with him. It wasn't so much about the question, I believe. It was about them looking at the circumstance, looking at the waves, and all of a sudden Jesus says, where is your faith? And they turn around and they lock eyes with the one who is forever faithful. See, it's a rhetorical question. Once we lock eyes with him, once we see him for his beauty and his majesty, once we fall in love with him, once we become intimate with him, the question no longer makes any sense. It doesn't really matter because all of a sudden, it's all about him. And this faith that was gone, all of a sudden, starts coming back. Not because we've looked inside to try and find it, but because we're looking at the one who is forever faithful. Maybe you feel like the Lord is asking you this morning in your situation, where is your faith? As you turn from your circumstances, as you look at him, let him, his wonder, his beauty, his majesty, his greatness, his faithfulness, let that just fill you with confidence. Let that fill you with hope this morning. How many know that faith doesn't come by striving? It comes by surrender. This is how our faith grows. It comes in surrender, where we lay down and we say, you can have it all. Where we come into that place with him and our eyes are set on him. And we say, hey, we might not understand everything about this. Just like Mary and Joseph. But we set our eyes on the one who is forever faithful. At this Christmas time, I just want you to remember the one who is forever faithful. Mary and Joseph didn't have the luxury of hindsight. For 2,000 years, this Christmas story has been told. Ever since you were born, probably, you've heard the Christmas story. It's not hard for you, maybe, to believe that this story is true. But for Mary and Joseph, they were just ordinary people trusting the promises of God, trusting in his nature, trusting in his word, just fulfilling what he had for their lives. I can imagine when Mary was there at the crucifixion, do you think that she would have understood exactly what was going on? I don't think so. But I think she probably looked back on her life and said, hey, this is another area I don't understand, but I do understand one who is forever faithful. Just as we finish up now, I just want everyone to close their eyes. This is just a time between you and God. Not only at Christmas do we celebrate this gift of God, this baby who came to earth, but he grew up. He became a man. He was stretched out by humanity. He was nailed to a cross. He died in our place so that we could have relationship with God. And I believe there's people here this morning that at Christmas time, where you're going to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you're like, hey, I don't even believe in Jesus. Today's a step of faith. Today's a step of faith. Maybe you even say, if you are real, I'm going to give you a go and see what happens. But today I believe, as everyone's got their eyes closed, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. And if you're here today and you say, Ben, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want a hand control of my life over to him. I want him to come in and forgive me of my sin. Today, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to include you in a simple prayer. Is there anyone this morning, maybe for the first time, you want to say yes to Jesus? You want to raise your hand just this morning? You want forgiveness of your sin? Maybe you think, hey, I don't even believe in God. But today, you're going to say, I'm going to take a step of faith. And if he is real, I want him to come into my life. I want him to change me. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to include you in a simple prayer. A prayer of saying yes to Jesus. Maybe you've even been in church for a while and you're like, hey, today I need to make a fresh new commitment to Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here before we go? Anyone want to do that this morning? It's the best decision you'll ever make is saying yes to him. But it does. It takes a step of faith. A step into the unknown to say yes, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. Anyone, as I scan across one more last time. Amen. Let me pray for you guys. Jesus, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you've so come that we might have life. First of all, Lord, we thank you that you've become alive in us. That the scripture says that once we were dead in our sins, but we have been made alive in Christ. Lord, thank you that through this Christmas story, you started the rescue plan for humanity. That we may know you. That you may actually become something that's more real to us than the person sitting next to us. Lord, we pray over this Christmas period that, Lord, that as we gaze upon you, as we see you for who you are, that our faith would arise. Lord, that you would cause us to be victorious in every part of life. Amen.